Welcome everyone to the meeting of the State Geographic Information Council. This meeting being held under the Open Meeting Act. Notice was posted on the front of the building according to the regulations of that act. Before we get started, I'd like to ask you to join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Just want to remind you, if you haven't had a chance to sign in, we do have a sign-in sheet over at the door. You can catch that on your way out if you want, and keep you on our mailing list. Before we get into the meeting, we usually go around the room and introduce ourselves and tell who we represent. So we're going to start with the head table here and then Kathy.
Kathy Hines, Center for Special Analysis.
Anna Powell, Oklahoma Department of Wildlife Conservation.
Mike Shagrew, Water Resources Board.
Troy Frazier, Oklahoma Tax Commission.
Mike Sharp, Conservation Commission.
Steve Stadler, State Geographer of Oklahoma.
Susan Langley, Department of Agriculture, Food and Forestry.
Amy Brighton, Department of Environmental Quality.
Michael Larson, Portland State University.
Kelly Duncan, Oklahoma Corporation Commission.
EMP will see you at this.
Dan Hunt, Oklahoma Wildlife.
Chris Hunt, EMQ.
Mariana Anderson, currently looking for jobs.
April Chipman, OSU Cartography Services.
Shelley Willoughby, Office of Geographic Information.
Chris Hill with Meshack & Associates.
Charles Brady, City of Ardmore.
George Thomas, BLM.
Jason Schmidt, Photo Science Contracting with BLM.
Jason Money, BLM.
Matt Flynn, BLM.
Ted Sloan, BLM.
Neil Garrett, Corporation Commission, Charlie Sullivan.
Robert Meyer, BLM.
Craig Dummel, OMBS.
Steve Maddox, Oklahoma Department of Emergency Management.
John Trevor, Tourism.
Bob Springer, that's my GPS.
Jim John, City Civil. Doug Rogers, Oklahoma Department of Finance.
Eric Phillips, Federal Libraries.
Mark Slavel, Capital Planning, Rural Counties.
And David, Capital Planning.
Okay, well, thank you everyone for being here. We do have a quorum, so minutes have been circulated and for the January meeting. Does anybody have any corrections to the minutes? If there are none, I entertain a motion to approve.
So moved.
Your second?
Second.
Motion been made and seconded that we approve minutes as published. Any discussion on that? Hearing none, those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Thank you. Motion carried. Committee reports. Dan, you got anything on?
Yes, I did. We met yesterday for the Wildlife Survey Group spoke and talked about Jude and I. With the NOAA people, David Diamond and the Elliott, and Al Bear, and Alan Janis, Mark Howery from the OGFC, and Phil Barty from Gulf Coast Planning ICC for a while. And there, and we went over the list of vegetation types that we're going to be mapping for the land cover proposal. I know we got through all the ones for the phase one of the project. I think we got through most of all of them. So those people, so they're ready to go. They've already done a preliminary classification of the Landsat imagery on using the vegetation classification for the model.
Just where exactly are they going to be doing their work? Will it be in your shop?
No, it's going to be in Missouri.
In Missouri?
Yeah. We talked about taking a field trip up there to see exactly what they were, how they were doing that. Also talked about having a field trip here for them to go visit some of the vegetation.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Charles, you want to bring us an update on our address standard?
Addressing, we've got the basic schema built. We've got the geodatabase built. We're right now in the process of getting the domains 100% filled. We've got two or three of them that we're trying to figure out exactly how to parse stuff together. Planning on trying to take and have one more face-to-face meeting before the official report comes out and iron out exactly the flow of how things would get updated and things of that nature. And which baseline, which center line to actually see if I dump the data into the geodatabase. So hopefully try to get together next month and face-to-face iron out some of those things you can't get quite done over email.
Okay, we're planning on having that April meeting here, rolling out the address standards for everybody to see and get some feedback on it. Thanks. All right. Highlight of the day, the presentation, Amy Britton and Chris Monk are going to show us their new ArcGIS viewer over at DQ. So Amy, take her away.
My name is Amy Britton. I work in the Superfund program at the DQ. And this summer, we rolled out a new web viewer with our GIS information. And I liken this to when first time I got to use a operating system, so going through DOS to open the program. It was awesome. So, and I'm not going back. So we're going to demo that to you. We're going to talk about some of our challenges that we face and the challenges we see in the future. And also, over there on the side table, I brought you brochures we've made this summer. We're planning on updating these for GIS and Council, so you can buy our booth. Maybe you'll see a better one, but it kind of has some basic information about our viewer. So first I'm going to show you how to use it, the basics. Our viewer has a whole host of information that we maintain and the data we're pulling in from other state agencies and other sources. A lot of it's just what we feel like we want to see on our viewer, and that we have a lot of field offices that use the viewer, so what they need to use to do their job. So it's kind of what causes us to add a data layer to our viewer. So when you open it up, you're going to get this little agreement box, just kind of our warning that do what you will with our data, we're not going to totally trust it all. It's all a work in progress, so I'm just going to agree. If you say don't show again, you click that and it won't pop up again for you. Okay, so we have our base map for center on Oklahoma here. You can use your mouse just to drag it around. Or you can use the traditional buttons to zoom in and out and then draw boxes if that's how you'd like to zoom in and out. This is our layer list, and we kind of have things organized by division within our agency. So we have an air quality division. So if you open up the little square, you can see what data layers they have. I work in land, so I'll show you mine. You can turn it on, and you can turn on our Superfund. So there's all the Superfund sites in the state. It's kind of cool because you can just click on one of these dots and you can see information about that site. And you can also click on the web link to information about that Superfund site if you want to know more. So you can turn data layers on and off. Some cool layers we have our local DQ offices on here. So if you need to contact a local DQ representative, you can find out where your local office is and click on that. And it'll give you phone number and address and the names of who the local ESs are in that office. So that's kind of handy. We have our accredited labs, so if you need to run environmental samples to your local water system or something, you want to see what labs are accredited in the state, pull up that level, that layer. We have some other agency data that we've got from the Corporation Commission, from the Department of Ag, I believe we have those. So there's some data in there you can look at. the geology of the state, we put that in there, the groundwater aquifers. I like this one. Chris, did you just add that? This is all the compressed natural gas station.
Joe
added that. So that's pretty neat. So if you have a CNG vehicle and you didn't know, which we do have one in our fleet and everyone's afraid to drive it because they don't know where to fuel up. So this will help, right? They can pull that up on their computer. We have the mesonet stations, and these just, all it will do is link you to the mesonet website on that station. So it doesn't really have the data in there, but it gives you a quick link to that data. And it's just more basic information down here that you can add. These are the aerials, the NAEP aerials, so you can turn those on and off. So that's kind of a really quick overview of the kind of data we have in here, and I'd encourage you to play with it. If you want to know more about this data, if you click on this little down tab, you can go to the description, and that's your metadata. You can also set transparencies, so if you have multiple layers, like you want to not have one layer covering up another layer, you can use some of these functions. Across the bar up here, we have different base maps that you can turn on. So like if you want the beam streets, or I like the aerials, but so if you want to, you can just click through here and USGS quads for whatever base map you want to look at. You can also get to all this layer list under this data tab here. The nice thing about this list is you can turn it on and off and you can move it around. So I'm going to go through some of what we call the widgets. Oh, let me say one more thing. There are actually some video tutorials. There's a survey right here. If you click on that, that you can bring up. So if you want to provide feedback or you want to look at some video tutorials, click that there. But the widgets across the top is the real functionality. I'm going to turn on the weather. And there's probably no weather today, so we're not showing it. So you can just kind of, so it's just the radar, that's all it is. But it's kind of cool if you're a local field office and you want to know if it's raining outside or wherever you're going. Or you're in Oklahoma City and you need to drive to Miami, is it snowing or something up there, you can pull that up. Alright, this first function is bookmarks. And we already have some preset bookmarks for you. So you can do like Oklahoma City metro area, just Tulsa metro area. You can also add your own. I'm going to turn on my super fun one again, and I work a lot in Cushing. So one of my bookmarks that I have is my super fun site in Cushing. So it's really easy. I just click add, and I just name it whatever I want, Cushing, my bookmark, and then it's there. And it's on your local browser. So it's just for you to see to help you speed up. There's something you always tune into. Right, the next one's the find a location. So you can search by address. So like I'll throw in our main office address. An enhanced search.
It's on the Wi-Fi.
That's why it's a little slower.
It's my fault.
Okay. It's probably, I'm doing a lot.
ArcGIS online for this to serve it up, or are you actually serving?
No, it's our server.
Okay.
Yeah. And Chris, in a minute, he'll tell you guys all more than you want to know about it. I'm just the, I give Chris the data, and he puts it up here for me. I'm that person, so. It is really nice, though. One of the things I really like about this is that we have a DQSD database that's got all of our data saved in it. So I can edit my layers in the SD database, and then it almost instantaneously will show up on the FlexView. By the time I save my edit, I go back in here and I'll see my edit. So that's really nice for me because I have some layers that change quite a bit, so I'm able to really keep those updated. And whereas before, I was lucky if I could update my data layers once a year, and that was a total struggle. So it was really nice for us in the divisions, the way we have this set up. I don't know what's going to happen. Oh, here we go. All right, so this search really quick. Like, say you need to know an ECLS office. Search by the office name, so that's like the city that it's in, so Stillwater. Search, it'll find it for me. So there's some basic searches. You can choose the data layer you want to search. There are different data layers have different fields that you can search in. So it's pretty basic, so that's nice. You can also do it, so if I zoom out, I'm really afraid of my questions. That's okay. So, say I want to see all my Superfund sites within the Oklahoma City metro area. I can just draw a square around the Oklahoma City metro area and then hit search, and it pulls them all up in a little table for me. So, there's just some basic searches you can do. Alright, there's also two draw and measures. This one is the more basic one, but you can also, I want to point out, check the show measurements, and it'll actually show you the measurements after you draw the feature. This one is a little more fancy. Has more symbols and more bells and whistles, so you can play around with those as you need it. We have the print. That's something that we want to improve a lot on because right now it's not going to show you the legend or anything. It's not that great. It's just what it was. So we want to improve that. But now we have this export to JPEG, so you can save your map and export it to a JPEG and then plug it into your Word document or whatever you need in it. This is that legends layer. Identify, pretty simple. You could, again, draw a box or click a dot and it'll print it out, pull it out for you. We have drive direction. So I like this. Because you can actually point and click. So I want to go from, this is Cushing, I'm just gonna, I want to go to Cushing, to Oklahoma City. Tool, our local offices use this a lot because if they have some sort of application, they need to know within a certain distance of that location that they got a permit application for. They can just go in here, they can just zoom on something. Put a dot where, wherever that is. You can set your distance for your buffer. So if I do 4 miles. It's kind of hard to see the colors, but you can change those fill colors. So that's like 1 mile, 2 mile, 3 mile, 4 mile. Just that out. You can also search our data and build queries from our data. So let's see. I want to know about permitted landfills. So I want to know. Facility name, permit. I want to do facility type. So I want all my facility types. It gives me up the unique values within facility types. So I want to know all my non-hazardous industrial waste landfills. And then it shows you on the map, it gives you a table, and you can also export that table. So those are all the landfills in the state that accept non-hazardous industrial. Pretty much a really quick tutorial of the website. I'm going to go back to my PowerPoint. So I'm going to talk about how I did it. I'm a member of the DEQ's GIS subcommittee, and we have membership from each of our divisions within our agency. We hold monthly meetings, and we're in charge of writing the agency's SMPs for GIS and GPS. And one of the things that we've been working towards was figuring out how to replace our old Argyme SPR. We knew that it was pretty ancient and that it could die at any moment. So that's been a long-term goal of our subcommittee. In November of 2011, we met with Esri and we had a what they called a discovery workshop. So they came in, they looked at our workflows, the way we're managing our data, how we're using that data, field mobility that we have, and operational awareness and public outreach. So they kind of, those are the things they looked and they evaluated us on, and they wrote up a little report for us. And the result of that was that we met again with them in March of 2012, and they helped us install server. We already had the license, they helped us install it. They met with us to demonstrate the advantages of that centralized SD that I was telling you about. And we talked about potential going towards ArcGIS Mobile. But really, all that really helped push us to see that we could replace our Argyme S viewer in-house, which is what we wanted to do. So they gave Chris a lot of help in setting all that up. So I'm going to try to, I'm going to turn over to you, Chris, to talk about the software.
Yeah, when Esri came in last year, they helped us get our software set up. And see up here, we went with the Arc Server 10, we got our Desktop 10. They showed us how to set up the Flex Viewer, which is a very powerful tool. I don't know if anybody in here used it, but it was really easy to configure. I'm not a GIS guy, I work in IT at DEQ. And they showed us how to kind of set it up and get it going, and then we just kind of ran with it, configured it. Amy was very instrumental. We got a bunch of her data and got in on there and realized that, hey, we can do all this ourselves. We had our old ArcGIS viewer, but we had a consultant in Tulsa that was kind of keeping it updated, and we didn't have a whole lot of control over it. Like Amy said, she was only able to update her data about once a year, and now she's done it real time, so that's been really nice. We use SQL Server 2008. We're looking to go to our SQL Server 2012 here pretty soon. And we've got a test and a production environment. Two virtual machines that we have set up. And that's worked out really well for us as well. Once they came in, we created an SDE database for each one of our divisions. That's worked out great because Amy, she can just go into her land database and create new layers, update layers, that kind of thing. It's all real time. We took our old layers and imported them in using the ArcInfo software. We use ArcInfo to pretty much create our layers, do our layer symbology. And then once the layers are, or once the MXD file's created, we publish that out to a map service, and that's what the FlexViewer uses to retrieve and display data. And the ArcGIS subcommittee, they've been very helpful. We sat down with them, our IT group, and said, okay, you know, what kind of tools do you need? And Esri has a great website. They've got a lot of widgets out there on their website that are other users have developed, and then you can download them and configure them to work with your data sets and that kind of thing. And there's a lot of great widgets out there. Some of the widgets, I had to modify them a little bit using Adobe Flash Builder. They're all built in Flash, and so some of the layers didn't work exactly like we wanted, so I was able to go in and configure some of those myself. And we have this image service. If anybody wants to use any of our data, they can just plug in the URL and go and retrieve that data and put it on their own maps and that kind of thing. They can use it with ArcGIS Online, which some of our employees have done that. They've got an ArcGIS Online account, and then they can go create some custom maps for some applications that they use. And it's just a screenshot of our Google Analytics. You can see that we
do have some visitors to our site, so that's good to see.
We're afraid we're going to put it out there, nobody would use it, but we've got quite a few visitors in the last year. Some of the issues we've had, this does use Adobe Flash, and so a lot of our computers in our agency didn't have the most recent version, so we had to have our IT operations group update everybody with the most recent Flash. We've had some issues with large data sets, working on getting those cached so that they're a little bit quicker. Some of our widgets don't work the way we want, and some of it's just outside the realm of what we can do at DQ. So we're working with Esri. They're going to help us customize some of our widgets and write a couple of new ones for us. Training and software is expensive, so we're working on getting some funding for some training and some software for our IT group and our GIS people throughout the agency. And so workflow and database permissions, we're working on that so we can kind of, you know, give certain people read only, certain people, you know, edit permissions, and so on those. We've got test environment and production environment, like I said. Our old ArcIMS viewer is still online. We're wanting to get rid of that soon. Esri's going to help us with that. Make sure that all the functionality that our old ArcIMS version had, that we can have the same functionality and more on our new viewer. And we're also going through an IT consolidation throughout the state. I'm actually an OMES employee now. I still work at DEQ, but our agency's going to be consolidated later this year, so that may change the way we do some things. Future goals, we want to do more real-time updating. Some of our updating is not. Amy does a lot of real-time updating.
We want to connect our databases to the SDE.
Yeah, we've got quite a few other databases and applications throughout the building to handle all of our waste and water and everything. A lot of times we have to take the data out of those systems, put it over into the GIS system to update it. We would like to be able to just tie that directly into all of our individual data systems, so we're not duplicating data. We're looking to upgrade to server 10.1 and desktop 10.1. That's kind of on hold until we can get some training and some dollars. And like I said, we're going to upgrade to SQL Server 2012 this year. Customize some more of our widgets. Esri's going to help us with that. We're looking at maybe developing a mobile app for all of our GIS data. And we would like to create some additional viewers that are just specific to one type of data. You know, this is just some water data. This viewer will just have all kinds of water data.
There's our contact information. Yes, call today, fine. Are there any questions? We went through a lot. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I got a question. I got a couple. But first, at the DEQ, so your GIS, your program, I understand you guys got your land protection division, water quality, air, and then you have your different divisions, the other ones. But so for your GIS, do you have, and then within land protection, do you have Superfund, what else? Voluntary cleanup, I guess. Mm-hmm. You have your different subdivisions in there. So the GIS people, do you have, so Amy, you're the GIS person in Superfund, I guess. Anything GIS related in Superfund, you are that person?
Well, we don't have any actual GIS people in our agency. It's all done by people like me. That's just one little piece of their job. So there are different people who maintain different data sets, and we all have access to these SD databases. So there are several of us who might have to edit our land SD, and we all have the permissions to go in there and do that. Does that make sense? But
yeah.
We don't have any centralized persons, that's their job.
Okay.
But one of the things about connecting to the divisional databases in real time would help that, because then you're taking out that someone has to sit there and create a layer on the
right.
SD. It would automatically be done. Like once a week, they go into the land database and pull out all the facility information. So if a new facility got generated that week, then it would be added to the map.
Right.
Without somebody having to go into editor mode and ArcInfo and add a dot.
Yeah.
Which would make it a lot easier on us to keep up with, because we don't have GIS.
Yes. Okay. That's fine. And then secondly, I was wondering if you could go back into the into the program. And I just wanted to test something real quick. I wanted to not that I have any doubts with your system at all.
All right.
But I wanted to check a waypoint that I gathered last night.
Okay.
And to see if it is valid or if before.
So,
so it's kind of a dual purpose thing.
We're
not just to check that, but also to check the waypoint.
All right.
I don't know which one you want first, the lat or the long, but 35 point, it's in decimal degrees.
All right.
35.62440.
All right.
Minus 97.38779. And that should be ODWC's Arcadia Training Center. It is.
Okay. Sweet. We passed, right?
So I did a good job, and you're, that's working.
So it's cool. I didn't really go over the, you pull up a dot looking at the different base maps.
Yeah.
Because that helps me visualize what my dot is.
Well, and I'm confident now that I can give those digits to people and tell them, plug mm-hmm. this into your TomTom, and you won't end up in a strange place.
Yeah, I've been to that place. You think you're gonna drive off into the lake before you get there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now your question.
Cool. While you have this up, the flex viewers are really, really cool. Show the drag that slider that they're for the images where you switch.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of the coolest things about Flex is its ability to do transparency and do things kind of on the fly. So I want to make sure you got a chance to show that, because that's really cool.
You can customize your
that is
information.
So it kind of, you can control the transparency and stuff. One other comment I want to add, we've done a lot of, we're kind of in this transition too from the ArcIMS to the Flex viewers. We've generated a lot of Flex viewers, and getting the tools and stuff that are out there are really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things about the HTML viewers, the old ArcIMS format, we found that at least through a couple of exercises that the HTML, if you have a web viewer using the old HTML format, that those don't work in the new Windows operating system for some reason. And maybe it's just a case that we found, but we found in two cases where it's not necessarily Windows 8, it's Internet Explorer in Windows 8 doesn't work with the old HTML format. And so if you have your old viewers in that format, they are transitioning to something like Flex or Java-based viewer.
And I've heard that a lot from people who try to pull up our old ArcMS viewer, mm-hmm. that they get like a pink screen or something.
Especially with any browser besides IE.
Right.
Like our old ArcMS viewer, just get a pink screen and it doesn't come out.
64-bit OS is sometimes a problem with some of those too. So, and I've also heard that Esri is not really supporting the HTML format anymore, and that eventually will be disappearing and almost everything will be exclusively Flex or Java based for their viewers. So there is a transition.
Much we were at that point where we knew if our ArcMS crashed, it was gone. So we knew we had to do something.
Yep. Okay. No, it's very, the Flex stuff is really, really fun.
And I don't think we really talked about it, but just the speed we got this up and running. We met in March and they installed it. I think we went live in July. There was a huge period where test viewer so that we could play around with colors and stuff and the way we wanted to look and adding widgets, taking them off when we didn't like it. So I thought that was really quick. For us, that was really fast paced.
Well, and you mentioned your IT experience. That's kind of, for the Flex viewers, it's more IT than it is even, once you build the map document and the service, then it's all IT side to get the pro, because it really, it's just the lines of code.
Right, I'm not a GIS person, but I'm picking this up real quick.
Yeah.
I'm able to configure it.
That's how we come across it in ours. So.
And that's another reason why IT consolidation worries me. We need our IT people. So.
Yes.
I've
got a question for you guys. Well, I know a lot of people use the Flex Viewer. In our organization, we're actually doing the SOAR-like viewer route, so we have to do some customizing on that. Did Esri ever mention this? Like, you guys, did they more or less suggest that Flex Viewer because we have a lot more tools available?
They mentioned both, but they recommended Flex to us, and I'm not sure what the reasoning was. This seemed a little bit easier for me, from my background, but like both of them, pretty nice tools.
I'll add to, I think the rumor mill that I've heard on that is that the Silverlight isn't being supported by Microsoft as much anymore. They were kind of really pushing it. So it's not necessarily on Esri's end, maybe it's more on Microsoft's end that Silverlight is not what they thought it would be.
Esri, and they said that they were supporting that for quite some time.
Yeah, I think they will. I think they'll continue to support it.
Just Esri is 2 years from now.
And they're good partners with Microsoft, so that as long as Microsoft's supporting it, I'm sure they'll support it as well.
I believe there's even a JavaScript for it. I haven't looked at that one very closely.
So if you guys ever get out there and play with it, you have any feedback, do your survey and let us know. Yeah.
What time frame are you looking at to have the apps available for self-working
Like I said, that's one of our goals, but we haven't started on that project yet, so it'll be a while. Sure.
Well, thank you guys for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Got our GIS discussion or any data issues. If anyone has anything they want to bring up and share with the group, this is the time. Harold.
I have some networks, so I put a press release out over there so those interested can pick it up. The second round of U.S. Topo Quads for Oklahoma are now available. We said a couple of years ago that we're going to do update the quads every 3 years, and so Oklahoma and Kansas are the first two states to be completed in the second round of that process. And there are some added layers that came with this next round. They fire stations, hospitals. Boundaries are on these blocks, we went there before, and field of TomTom is the transportation data that's on there. All of this data is in the public domain except the transportation data. So we have the press release and feel free to drop that table. So the existing bars that U.S. topos that are out there, they'll still be there, but they're now just part of the historical topographic map collection.
Okay, thanks, Darrell.
I've been getting the FSA aerial field office from time to time, and with the budget situation as it's been, as of about a week or so ago, there was no mention of any contracting being done yet for the 2013 flight. Now, they did about a third of the states that were scheduled for this year last year. So when and if the budget does settle out, we've got a better chance of being flown because they'll be covering less states this year and still stay on schedule. But FSA, as of about a week or so ago, still does not have anything up about it actually being done this year.
Well, we may have to get by with the 2010s another year. Let me stay right there.
On that aerial question, too, I didn't... A lot of people saw it last month that Esri released that they're not the Bing imagery that's been included with the ArcGIS 10 and 10.1 softwares that you have to have. They're going to change the licensing agreement for it. Has anybody seen that, or has anybody experimented with that change in licensing? Supposedly they're phasing out the free part of the Bing imagery. I don't know if they're going to charge for it, or if they have to. Maybe like you have to have a license key similar to if you serve it on your ArcGIS server, but just kind of an FYI that the Bing imagery that a lot of us become very comfortable with in ArcGIS is there's a change in the agreement, and I don't really know what that means, but it, supposedly by August, September of this year, they will officially phase out the free part of it. I don't know, maybe there's just another hoop you got to jump through to get the software, but just kind of a heads up and maybe figure out what it takes to get that done. I don't know. I mean, I don't know about anybody else, but become very reliant on the Bing imagery, and without it being updated, that's going to be, or well, without it being updated, without you having a specific license.
You can get a key for Bing.
And maybe it's just a key that you
That's what I'm using is, I put in there in Russian building.
So, were you, okay, I know if you...
But this was, you know, a year or 2 years ago, mm-hmm. but mine is separate, the way I'm doing it is separate from ESRI's agreement.
Yeah, I just don't know if it'll be built in. I know on the old, like if you had 9.3, you could get a, you could get the virtual key and get access to it that way. And then 10.1 or 10.0 and 10.1 was built in, but apparently it's just there's something that's going to change in it, and I don't know if it's going to be in subsequent versions. And I believe also that if you want to continue to use it, maybe after a certain version, you're going to have to install the latest update or some whatever the new service pack that comes out for Esri or the next version is going to require you to have some sort of authentication through Bing. To get access to the imagery. So it's just a change. I don't know a whole lot about it yet, but I know it's coming. So.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a technique they use to get you hooked on it, and then down the road,
it worked very well.
Figure out how to charge Autodesk, doing the same thing with AutoCAD Map 2013. You can go out to Autodesk Labs and get another FBO provider for the theme imagery and plug that in, but it's good. Well, they say it may or may not be there in a year. So it's really nice to have.
It's been very nice to have.
Anything else? Okay. Any new business? Anybody have anything to bring up? Okay. Hearing none, announcements. We've got GIS Day coming up. Shelley?
GIS Day is March 14th. If you're still interested in being an exhibitor, certainly let me know. We still have some spaces available where it looks like we're going to have a good crowd. Google's coming in this year as well as ESRI, and we have several new vendors coming in. So certainly if you're interested in participating, either as an exhibitor or just a participant or to come in and view, we'd love to have you.
Okay. You still have some spaces left?
I have space on the second floor. We have completely filled the fourth floor, but I still have tables available on the second. So.
Very good. Great job, Shelley.
Thank you.
What year is this?
Number? 19.
Huh?
This is the 19th year.
Okay.
Really? Wow. Yes, 19th year for GI State of Capitol.
Council's been around since 94. We're in the 19th year. Scott, Charles?
Check the website. We've got a lot of things going right now. We've got a lot of trainings going out at ODOT with ArcGIS Basics 1 and 2. If you miss one round, check again. There's going to be some more coming up. Also, February 27th, we're coming to Edmond again for our user group meeting. We're putting the presenters up online as they come online with the abstracts. Scholarships. If you're interested in getting some money for some college education or know someone that is, put them toward the SCOG website. We'll have a regional scholarship, an Oklahoma scholarship. The regional application's up right now for $1,500 a piece. The Oklahoma will be $500 a piece. That application will be coming online in the next little bit. The regional one's actually open right now. And also, conference in Addison, Texas, which is basically Dallas, down around the Galleria. Coming up in April, go ahead and go online, sign up for that early to get your early registration, get your hotel and everything booked, and it'll probably never be any closer than that right there. So it's a good location. It's turned out to be a really good venue. So when people generally hear Addison, they don't know where it's at, and you go, it's the Galleria, Dallas. It's going to be a good location. So go check the website out. Pay attention to all the blasts that come out on the emails and not just delete them so quick. You might have some good content for you.
Okay. Thanks, Charles. Anybody else have anything on any meetings or events coming up? Okay. Well, next meeting. GIS Day's in March, so we will not have a regular meeting in March. So April will be the next one, which is, I think, the 5th of April, first Friday. We're going to have some changes. You know, we talked about the council's been around for 19 years, and I think we've been meeting over here in the Water Resources Board since. Is that right, Bob? And what our first meetings were in the Water Resources Board, don't they? Down in the basement and then up here. So, Mike, we've been here a long time with your hospitality, but we're looking at a new venue for our meeting spot. We're going to give it a try. It's going to be over at the State Board of Regents. Shelley can show us on the map here where that's located. They've got lots of parking. They have a three-level parking garage over there that when you come in, it's like going to the airport, you get a little ticket. But they will have tokens for us to use, so the parking will be free. The boardroom is a little smaller than this. It's kind of set up like this. But it has two screens in the front, some screens on the side. It has microphones for the audience. And the other thing about it that is really going to enhance, I think, getting the word out is that they're going to live video the meeting and stream it out on the web. So if you can't come to the meeting, you can watch it on your computer in your office or wherever you are. So, and I believe they're going to have it set up so that you can call a toll-free number and actually, you know, interact with the meeting. So we're going to see how all this goes. But I think having that ability for the April meeting, whenever we roll out the address standard, I think is pretty timely as far as getting feedback. So we'll see how it works.
So actually, the location is just south of Lincoln Boulevard and south of the Capitol. So I just
want to just evacuate the line, just a while ago.
Seriously. So it's just south on Lincoln. It's if you're familiar with the health science, it's near the Presbyterian Health Center. But like Mike said, we'll have a parking garage. We will give lots of directions of how to get there. As I send out the reminders, there'll be lots of reminders about where the new location's at. So we're pretty excited about bringing it to the live to the web. I've had lots of people from the Tulsa area or from various other areas have asked me for a couple of years now, is there any way they could call in, because they're very interested in participating in a council meeting, but they can't necessarily travel. So this is one of the ways we're going to try it to see if we can stream it out. Not only will you be able to watch it then, but we're hoping to be able to make it so that you can watch it at a later time as well. So if you have a meeting at that time or you have something going on, you can still come back in a week or later that day, see the presentations, and get all the information that we present here at the council.
Okay, Shelley, are you going to be able to video conference in as well?
That's what they're telling us, is that you will be able to video conference in as well. OneNet's very familiar with doing this. They've done it many times before. Me, myself, not so much. So, well, it might take us a couple to get it up and going, where it's really seamless. But they said we should be able to video conference in, you can call in. So we're hoping to have all those resources available to everybody.
You might wonder how a no-budget outfit can do something like this, and it's just because OneNet is providing all this service for us for free. So it's hard to turn something down like that. All right. Well, if there's nothing else, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
There's a second. Those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much for coming today.
She just told me. Okay. Because normally, if Richard can't find me, he starts looking for you.
Okay, I look forward to calling.